them to attack deeply in the international waters. So he relaxed Ulan, just called in the speaker. He relaxed the passengers and said to them, you can go to sleep. I was, you know, I was awake because I was, you know, organizer, so I didn't go to sleep. I was going back to the press room, reading, sending, you know, information to the land team, updating what's going on the sea. And from time to time, I was going up to the upper level of the ship. We were running their media all the time. You know, we had live Turkey channel, I think, and everybody came to speak and to call the world to support us and to put the pressure in Israel to let the ships get in. I myself spoke in Arabic. We tried to make it in many different languages. I spoke and I said that we are civilians and that I, you know, our safety is, you know, the responsibility of every state if something happened to us on the ship. Around 2 o'clock, there was, you know, also it was, there was a kind of helicopter without, I don't know, it's a pilot or something, don't know how to call it in English. That was
on like an unmanned helicopter, like so it didn't have a pilot.
Yes, yeah. It was up of the small ships. All the time was kind of action around. The ships didn't leave. At 4 o'clock, for 2 minutes exactly, because I was going again to the press room. The internet connection just, you know, over. People who, and then back to, I get information, very sure information, that there is 5 Israeli ships and 9 small vessels, tiny boats coming toward us. We saw the 5 ships. I knew by source from the captain room that he can see in the radar another 9 ships. I was asking for, you know, exact information because I was informing the media and I didn't want to be mistaken with anything. So I was getting the information from, you know, the captain room or someone who is all the time in the captain room. At 4 o'clock, we started to put our life jackets. I went immediately down to call my colleagues from Al Jazeera to go up. And at that time, it was, you know, people started to wake up to go to pray. You know, there was a call, a speaker calling for the pray. And people went to pray immediately. Immediately after people finished their pray, about 4:20, I think, something like that, I saw around the ships, the small vessels with tens of armed soldiers going around, and then something started falling in the ship. I think it was, I don't know if it was gas or if it was, I don't know. It was also sounds of bombs in the ship. So I didn't, I don't know what it was, if it, you know. I left. I couldn't stay out. It was too dangerous. It was like shooting in the ship. I get inside. I went down to be, to, you know, to look after the passengers in the second level. Immediately after that, I saw many injured that they taking, bringing from inside in the stairs. And the ships became, you know, it was a big mess. It was a lot of injured people. I get a bit, I was hysteric for maybe 2 minutes. I couldn't breathe. I didn't know what to do with, because it was a surprise for me. This is my fourth time going in the ships, by the way. And I didn't expect this scenario at all. I left for a while to the, you know, to the first level to calm the woman. I asked them to stay in their place and then went back to the second floor on the ship. And it was, you know, it was a lot of bodies and a lot of injured people in the floor. We put the injured people in one corner. It's the ship, the second floor, it's divided. It's actually divided to two places in, you know, and in the middle there is the reception. So we put all the injured in one room. There was a security on the on that place, so no one can get in, only doctors or people who have medical experience. And in the middle, between the two sides of the ship, was someone who are dying in the floor and, you know, bleeding. And after a while, we started to hear that there is bodies, and they brought the bodies. They put them in front of us, one by one. We covered them, not me, with the flags. The bodies were bleeding. One of the women, actually, she lost her husband, and she was sitting in front of him and crying. Then my colleagues called me. I take the speaker. I saw that the Israelis actually surrounding the ship. I could see them from the windows. They didn't get in until now, but they were controlling. One of the Turkish organizers declared in the speaker that the Israelis control the ship. They control the captain room, and they please everybody take his seat. And this is what people did. People who were not injured just sit in their place. I get into the speaker room. I was speaking Hebrew, and I called, you know, they asked me to speak in Hebrew. For me, it was hell to speak in Hebrew that moment. But I did. I spoke in English. I called Israeli navies. We are civilians. Don't use violence. We need help. We have injured people here. Critical situation. Please help. And I did the call like maybe four times in English and Hebrew. English and Hebrew. And my calls was not responded. Maybe you can hear that in the videos, but I was, you know, I standed in the reception, and in front of me, lying old man and just dying. And some has his, you know, holding his hand, and another one just trying to put air on his face by, you know, cartoon piece, something. So I just called again and again and again in Hebrew and English, and they didn't give any attention to that. Later, you know, it was about 5 o'clock. We were in the situation maybe 2 hours until 7 o'clock. And then they asked that every one of us should leave one by one out. They wanted, actually, they didn't have the carriage, I think, to get on the ship. So they asked us to go one by one to the exit door to search us. I went to them again. I spoke in Hebrew to ask them. First, I wanted to speak to them to ask them to keep the doctors with the injured people, because we can't leave the injured people and all of us just go up. So I came to them and I said, I want to, you know, in Hebrew, we need the doctor to stay. The soldiers didn't even let me finish the sentence. And they said to me in Hebrew, shut up, shut your mouth. I went back. They were very scary. And then they said, hey, you come here. And then I looked at them, and they said to me, tell the injured people, if they want to stay alive, so it's better to them to go one by one.